This will be a talk about Xeen, a free multimedia engine. My name is Günter Bartsch. I'm one of the two founders of the project, and one is sitting here in front. And I'm still one of the main programmers in the Xeen project. I will first give you a very short introduction into what Xeen is. We'll get away some of the very basic questions. And then later on, we'll focus on the Xeen architecture and some of the Xeen internals. And in the end of the talk, I'll give you a short glimpse of what's to come in the Xeen project, some future projects and some ideas that are some are still the ideas, some are in the making. So let's get started. We don't have that much time. Okay, let's first get some of the very, very stupid questions out of the way. First question is, how do you pronounce Xeen correctly? Well, that's Xeen with a lowercase x. It's not Xeen. Fosdem got this wrong too, so even if, as I told them, but it doesn't seem to be that easy. Okay, now how do you pronounce it? It's Xeen. Xeen, okay? So nobody will ever say it again, it's Xeen. It's not Xine, it's not Shine, it's Xeen. And why is that the correct pronunciation? Well, because I say so. So. Okay, now that we have this, let's get on to the basic questions. One thing I hear very often is that Xeen is a DVD player, right? It's somewhat true. I mean, you can play back unlocked and encrypted DVDs with Xeen, even with menu support in latest 1.0 beta versions. And historically, that was certainly one of the big features that Xeen had. But in the meantime, it has really evolved, and it is much more than just a DVD player. So it can do other things. What are the things? Let's have a look. For example, video CD playback. Something it can do. It can play back files. Quite a lot of formats actually are supported nowadays, like RB, Org Media, QuickTime. We'll take a closer look at what media formats are later on when we get more technical. It can do live and video on demand streaming, for example, over the internet. That's something I'm personally working on. I think that's especially in the future when bandwidth becomes more and more available to you at home, that can become something that's very, very interesting. So you can watch the evening news when you want to watch them. Okay, you can't watch them before they are broadcast, but at least after that. So for a person like me who's always late, that's really, really a big advantage. Another thing that's interesting is watching TV using Xeen. For example, you can watch digital TV, DVB, digital video broadcasting. That's also a pretty new feature. There's support for some DVB cards that don't have MPEG decoders on them, and you can use Xeen as a software MPEG decoder there. Okay, and in fact, there's even more than that. So let's see what the advanced answers are here. So what is Xeen then? Xeen is first of all a free multimedia engine. It's a shared library. The engine comes as libxeen. It's a shared library that can be used by multimedia applications, even applications you write. I'll show you some of the Xeen API later on. And you can use it, for example, for desktop multimedia playback. So some media player look-alike can be pretty easily implemented using the Xeen engine. There exist a lot of different front ends for different needs. We'll get to that later. You can use it to build set-top boxes, some TiVo-like set-top boxes for standalone boxes that do not have a keyboard, just operated by the remote control. You can place the Xeen engine in there and have all the multimedia functionality Xeen has. you could do multimedia shows. So if OpenOffice had a Xen plugin, I could show you that Futurama episode I started to show at the beginning. So you, those of you who came to the wrong talk or are just here because a friend of them is here could watch Futurama, if, even if they are not interested in my talk. And yeah, you can embed it in other applications, some presentation tools, of course, in your browser. For example, there's a Mozilla plugin, Xen Mozilla plugin, so you can watch all those movie trailers or whatever that are embedded in other web pages. And in the near future, and I'll get to that at the end of my talk, there will be there is some work going on towards multimedia processing. So not only playback, but also editing streams, re-encoding streams, stuff like that. That's something Xen is heading now. That's a future direction. Okay, before we get into it, it's unavoidable to talk about the past. At least I'll try to keep this very, very short. In the beginning, when I was getting into the multimedia stuff and started to work on multimedia stuff, there was a project called Livid, and I was working on OMS, the open media system. Here's a screenshot. I was working on the GUI, and later on I started to work at the engine and focused on audio-video synchronization, which OMS couldn't do. Fortunately, my patches were refused, and that's what started the Xen project. In the beginning, it was a very simple MPEG player, and it started really as a simple experiment just to verify that my ideas would work. And the first estimation for Xen was that this project would be finished within 2 weeks. I also estimated, by the way, that this talk will be over in 15 minutes, so I hope you all sit comfortably. Okay, the ability to sync audio and video was one of the very first features, and it was a little outstanding back at the time on non-Windows platforms. The ability to drop frames if necessary, the MPEG decoders at the time were not very advanced and very slow, so this was really crucial. We did a lot of experiments, a lot of benchmarking. So to find out which architecture is right, where to put buffers, do we go for a single-threaded architecture or multi-threaded architecture. Then pretty soon DVD and video CD playback, at least some to some extent, were implemented, and we experimented with it. Then at some point RB and DivX became very popular, so I did an experiment and tried to add that feature to the Xen engine, which was pretty monolithic at that time, and the whole architecture was focused on MPEG and DVD playback, and it turned out that it was pretty simple to integrate. And that was the point where my destiny was sealed, because it became clear that Xen was not going to stay an experiment, but will unavoidably become some kind of multimedia engine, and we'll need to have plugins. So that's when really a lot of work began. Okay, and today we have Xenlib, the Xen engine, which this split up happened pretty early, but it's still true today. The engine is available separately, and the front end is separate from the Xen engine. And today, the Xenlib has a stable API, which has been in the making for the last half year. Okay, Xen today. Support for many different media formats. I mentioned some of them. Various input types, DVDs, video CDs, files, networking, various output plugins. There's no common output driver architecture among Unix-like platforms. So OSS, ALSA, ARTS, ESD, yeah, all are supported. Video output is pretty much the same. The X-Window system is used on most platforms, but some people don't want to use the X-Window system. They want to use some kind of frame buffer devices, or on some of the Unix workstations, you have better support for OpenGL if you want to do fast video output. So there are special plugins for that. There's some support for hardware cards, but I must mention that Xen is focused on software playback and software decoding, but there is some support for example, the DXR3 MPEG decoder card. Of course, digital video broadcasting, something I'm working on, and one of the latest additions is support for analog video input, so frame grabber devices that conform to the video for Linux API. And then something that's pretty new and it's still evolving is post-processing. Actually, you can have filters and effect plugins now, and you can build whole trees of filter and effects within the Xen engine and have all that in real time, at least if you have a fast enough machine. We'll have examples for that later on. Okay, let's stay on the easy part, that's front ends. Here's a screenshot of GeekXen. It's pronounced GeekXen. We are no longer sure what the G in front stands for, but it's a media player front-like front-end, but there are various other front-ends available. Just go on the Xen homepage and click on download, and you'll see a nice table with screenshots. I made that table. And you can choose from various types of front-ends that are targeted at different needs. So let's have a look. There's Xen UI, there's GeekXen, there's Cinec. There's a Mozilla plugin, I mentioned that already. For GNOME, there exists Totem, which is, as far as I know, already included in GNOME. So there's Xen is, to some extent, included in GNOME desktop. For KDE, there exists an Arts plugin, and there's also a lookalike of this GeekXen that's called KarkXen. And one of the most, somewhat different front ends is OP contains a media player that is based on Xen. I'll try to show it to you. Not that easy. I'm not sure if you can see anything on this, but there's actually a movie displayed on it. I'll just show it around. This is a strong arm port of the Xen engine, and there's Linux running on this PDA. I think it's pretty nice. So this thing has compact flash cards, and you can download your media on that compact flash card and then watch Futurama on your way to work. Okay, that was the easy part. Let's get a little more technical. And we'll have a look at the engine interface, the libxen 1.0 public API, and how to write a Xen frontend. You'll notice that this might look a little complicated. And if you really just want to embed the Xen engine in your application, it might be a better choice to just use one of the widgets that are available for different widget sets. For example, Totem comes with a GTK widget, which you can simply just take the widget and add it to your frontend, and you have the whole Xen engine working there, sitting there, waiting for you to throw a video at it, and you don't have to cope with the engine itself at all. So you don't have to cope with this API. So if you want to do low-level stuff, if you want to write a real media player and do full-screen playback and stuff like that, then you should have a look at the API. Or if you want to do some of the advanced stuff like re-encoding, then you have to look at the API. So let's have a look at this. This is a very, very simple media player. First of all, you include the Xen header file. There's just one header file that contains the whole API. This header file also contains a lot of comments that document the interface. That's something used very often in the Xen project, that the interfaces are documented in the header files. Then you start. You first call xenu. That's not much more than malloc call to allocate that abstract xenT data structure. Then most of the time you will want to load a xen config file. Even if you don't use the xen config system, it's some registry lookalike, or well, GNOME has something like this as well. But the xen engine itself does some benchmarking on the first startup and will store those results in the config file. So if you load it, if the config file that was saved the last time the xen engine was run on your system, it will start up faster because it does not have to do the benchmarking again. And once you have done that, you call xen init, and the xen engine itself is inited and will have all the plugins loaded and have a plugin catalog ready. Stuff like that is done at this point. Once you have that, you want to create an audio and a video port, at least if you want to do multimedia playback. If you want to have an MP3 player only, then you would get away with an audio driver alone. Those three dots there that are special, there are more parameters, and those parameters depend on what audio driver you really use. So if you use an X11 audio driver, those parameters are unfortunately different from a frame buffer audio driver. The X11 audio driver, of course, wants some window IDs where it should display stuff, and then a display pointer and stuff like that, while the frame buffer video driver nearly doesn't have any parameters at all. Once you have that, you can create an Xen stream. You can have several streams at the same time if you want to. If you want to display two streams at the same time, or for example, if you want to play back one stream and in the background you have a playlist and you want to find out how long in seconds, for example, each playlist item is, you can use two streams. One of them is used for playback and the other one you can use just to open all those streams one after the other and ask the Xen engine how long is that stream. Okay, Xen open, I mentioned it already. The second parameter is, for example, a file name or a URL. In the Xen project, we call those MRLs, that's media resource locator, because there are some special MRL types, such as DVD, double point, double slash, which would play back the DVD in the DVD drive if Xen is set up for that. Then you call Xen play. Those two zeros there are positioning information, so you can use that call as well to seek around in the stream. So you can call Xen play several times just to seek around. Then you have, usually you will have some kind of event loop. If this would be an X11 application, there would be several hundred lines of codes here, I guess. And then when that event loop is finished and you want to close your application, you should save that Xen config file. As I said, there's some benchmarking information in there. And in the end, you call Xen exit, so Xen engine will clean up and free all the memory. And this is how this application could look like. I will make those slides available so you don't have to write down the URL at the moment. This is SXFE is a front-end Stefan wrote, and this seems to be, at least for X11, the smallest possible front-end for Xen. So you can have a look there and maybe start from those sources if you want to build your own Xen application. Okay, let's dig deeper into things now. And let's see how the Xen engine works. So this is now, if you don't want to use the Xen engine, but if you want to extend it and start working on the Xen project itself. Of course, time is limited. I can only give you a rough overview and give you some points as where to look at. We can't get into too much detail, but let's see how far we get. First of all, let's talk about some of multimedia basics, so we all use the same language afterwards. If you want to do multimedia, you usually will have audio samples. those audio samples, you stuck them into some kind of encoder, MP3, Vorbis, whatever. And what comes out of the encoder are compressed audio frames. An audio frame is just an arbitrary number of audio samples, and that's compressed. Most encoders work frame-wise, and very often you'll find that frame size is fixed, but it's not the same size for all encoders. So you just get some bits out there. Then you will have video frames. If you want to do multimedia, usually you have at least two medias. And those video frames, you do exactly the same with them, but you use a video encoder, not an audio encoder. For example, you can use MPEG there, Windows Media, Reel, whatever you want to. And once again, you get what you get out is compressed video frames. And now the tricky part comes. You want to have them both in one file. You want to have one multimedia file, and you want to have audio and video synced. And that is something that is done in the system layer. The system layer just multiplexes compressed audio and video frames into one file or stream or whatever. I hope you can see that here. That there's first a bunch of compressed audio frames, then comes a bunch of compressed video frames. And what the system layer also does is it has a little yellow header at the beginning and maybe something at the end that's some kind of header information, such as what video codecs are used in here, what is the frame format. It depends actually on the system layer format. It can be AVI, OGG, MPEG has its own system layer format. And this system layer format usually is what accounts for the ending of the file. So if you have an AVI file, this just means that the system layer is AVI. That's clear, at least if the ending is correct, if the file suffix is correct. And if you have an AVI player, it doesn't mean that this AVI player will be able to play back that file, because maybe it can open up the system layer and get the audio and video streams out, but it doesn't have codecs for them to decode them. So it can separate those two streams, but it cannot play it back. These are just some basics. So I hope now you know what I mean when I talk about system layer. Okay, and if you try to keep this a little bit in mind, this basic structure here is also what dictates the Xene architecture. So let's see how the data flow works in the Xene engine. So first of all, you start with a multimedia file, can be anything, and you stuff it into an input plugin. That input plugin is just an abstraction layer. Input plugins exist for files. That's one of the most simple form of input plugin, but they also exist for DVDs, for network streams. So that's just an abstraction layer against all those details. So behind the input plugin, the Xene engine has a well-defined way to access the data in the stream. Input plugins can also be asked if the stream is seekable and stuff like that. For example, a network stream, a live network stream, is obviously not seekable, so you can only read it in sequential order and never seek back. After that, you want to separate those two streams, and that's done in the DMUX plugin. So the streams are demultiplexed here. And you could use some kind of malloc stressing in here to allocate small pieces of memory, but the Xene engine actually here has a buffer pool here. That's just pieces of small pre-allocated pieces of memory. And the DMUX plugin reads from the input plugin data into these pre-allocated buffers and stuffs them into audio and video FIFOs. So that's where those two streams get separated again. And well, they end up in the video decoder plugin and in the audio decoder plugin. And those will free those buffers again, and they end up in the buffer pool. The video decoder will obviously spit out decoded video frames, and the audio decoder will spit out decoded audio frames. and they will be queued up again and queued up in the video output and audio output layers. So you see there are two places where the Xeen engine has buffers. That's one buffer is between the demux and decoding stages, and another buffer is between the decoding and output stages. And that's something that's, well, I'm not sure if it is special to Xeen, but it's at least an advanced feature of Xeen that it can do a lot of buffering, and that really helps a lot in a multi-processing environment that most Unix systems are. So even if you have a strong enough CPU, and but in the background maybe a cron job starts working, if you have enough buffers, you might make it and will not lose any frames, even if the machine is busy at the time. Okay, and in between them, that's also something that Xeen has put a lot of effort into, is something called metronome, and metronome is responsible for keeping audio and video in sync. And that is done by, it has two functions. One function is to provide timestamps. Most system layer formats have some kind of timestamps, or if they don't have timestamps, they have usually some kind of table that can be transformed into timestamps. And those timestamps end up on those buffers. Unfortunately, those timestamps, at least on DVDs, are not always increasing. They can wrap around. On home encoded files that you can download on the internet, you'll find even more wrong timestamps, such as timestamps that jump around or are obviously wrong, jump back in time. So you want to smooth out those timestamps, and that's something that metronome does. And I can tell you that really a lot of experimenting and a lot of effort went into metronome to get that right. So metronome provides nice timestamps for the output layers, and it also provides a master clock, which can be the system clock, but it can also be a clock that is provided by your sound card or by some hardware encoder or decoder card in your machine. So there are plugins there as well. Okay, now we have a first impression of what the Xeen engine looks like. Let's just have another look at it from a different perspective. And that's not from a data flow perspective, but from a module perspective. What modules are there? You see that blue box here? Everything that appears in that blue box is some module that you will find in the Xeen tarball under source Xeen engine. And everything that will appear outside are plugins. So let's have a look. This should now look a little familiar. You have an input plugin, you have a demux plugin, that's obvious these are plugins. But in the Xeen engine, there is demux.c. And that little arrow behind it means that this is running its own thread. So this is one of the first threads, and this thread will make calls to the demux plugin to ask it, please provide the next piece of audio or video data. We have more threads in the Xeen engine, so you see it's a multi-threaded architecture. The video decoder and audio decoder, please remember that there are FIFOs between them, so they are buffered, so there's a well-defined relationship between them, but they can run separately. Those run in their own threads as well, but the thread itself is implemented in the Xeen engine, so you don't have to care about that too much if you are just writing a plugin. And these threads will once again make calls to their individual plugins that are connected to them. There are more threads in there. There's a video output thread and an audio output thread. Again, try to remember that there are buffers between them. In that case, those decoded frames queue up between the video decoder and the output. And video out, for example, will have a look at that queued, at all those queued frames and at their timestamps and see which frame is next, and then we'll call the video output plugin to display that frame. Okay, and once again, there is Metronome that's not running its own thread, but it's just providing some utility functions. So video out and audio out can generate nice timestamps. Something that is pretty new, post plugins. Those are also called by video out. Once video out has located a frame that is to be displayed, it will have a look at some user-defined post plugins. Those can be deinterlacers, scalers, denoisifiers, logo removal plugins, whatever you want, and run that frame through all those post plugins. So it gets post-processed before it is actually displayed. Okay, now let's have a look at what such a Xene plugin looks like. Maybe you want to write a new Xene plugin for a new format you want to support, or something like that, or a new output device you want to support. Xene plugins are basically shared libraries. That's I think whoever saw dynamically loaded plugins will know that those are most frequently implemented using shared libraries. But just to have that clear, they export only one symbol. That's Xene plugin info, which is actually an array. And from that Xene plugin info, everything is linked. That's in that file. Everything's linked from there. That's right. One such shared library, one such .shared object file, can actually contain several Xene plugins. That's pretty useful. For example, there are external projects like FFmpeg that provide a lot of audio and video codecs within one source tree. And if you want to bring those codecs to Xene and make Xene use them, you will run into the difficulty that if you want to write a shared object file for each of the many codecs they provide, you'll have a lot of them and all linked to the same library, maybe statically. So that's a waste of resources. That's why you can just put them all in one file and in one shared object file that maybe statically, maybe dynamically links to that external project. Yeah, and existing plugins are usually a good starting point. So if you decide you want to run, you want to write a decoder plugin, just have a look at an existing plugin. Xene is about writing readable code, and look into them, and also look at the header files where interfaces are documented, and you'll see how things work. But I'll say a little more about it. One thing you'll encounter if you look at Xene sources is that Xene does object-oriented programming, even if it is written in plain C. Let's see how that is done. So basically, we have an object T here, which will be something much nicer. This is actually a violation of Xene coding standards. You are supposed to use readable names and meaningful names, but place is limited here. Such an object is basically a struct, and you can have methods in there which are simply function pointers that are inside this struct. And you can also have attributes. These are simply fields in that struct. And that's about it. And if you take a look at any kind of plugin that Xene is, you'll soon run into such a struct. A plugin is nothing more than just a defined struct that you will have to fill out, and you will have to provide 5, 4, 7, depends on the type of plugin, such methods, and you just fill out the struct and fill out that Xene plugin info, and it should work. Okay, and usually there's some kind of create function that allocates this struct and then fills out those fields. Okay, now let's have a look at one of the newer features in Xene, and that's post plugins. First example I want to show you is about filters and using multiple streams. The example I want to show you is you have, for example, some kind of media file, in this time in this example an org media file, and you have external RBE subtitles for it. Oh, just two files. This is pretty common on some formats that you have one media file and subtitles for it. So you open them both, you create two Xen streams, and you just open them, and now you have to mix them together, and that mixing together can be done using post plugins. Let's see how this is done. Audio, nothing has to be done, so you could just wire that audio to the audio port. In this case, I just wanted to show you a filter plugin. This is a compressor plugin which compresses the dynamic range of the movie. You might have noticed that some DVDs have very loud parts and very, very silent parts, and some people don't like that. You can just place a compressor plugin in between and have it all smooth out, and it sounds like the movie was broadcast on some private TV station. Now the video is more interesting. You wire the video of both streams to a blend plugin, so you blend together the AVI subtitles and the stream itself, and just wire that to the video output. Something you learn from this is that those post plugins can have arbitrary numbers of all the inputs and outputs. Next example will illustrate that even more. This is that famous What a Goom visualization plugin, and you might know it from XMMS. Let's see how this integrates or how this fits into the Xen architecture. So you use the audio output of your stream, so you have some MP3 file, and you connect that to Goom. Just the Goom is a post plugin of Xen. And this post plugin actually has two output ports. One simply copies the decoded audio frames, does nothing with them, doesn't change them, but it will generate some video frames that contain those flashy graphics that Goom is about. Okay, if you're completely confused now, I guess most of you are, you can find out more. Just go to the Xen website. There's a document called the Xen Hacker's Guide that should explain most of what I said in much greater detail. Just go to the Xen homepage and click on documentation, and there you will find the Xen Hacker's Guide. And have a look at it. Also have a look at the Xen source code, which is meant to be ready for reading. And if you take a look at this and you might decide to join the Xen project, joining doesn't mean you have to take over much responsibility, but it could mean that you just want to write some plugin or just want to improve something. Let's have a look at the development in the Xen team works. Development, you might have noticed when I was talking about the Xen history, is somehow incremental. There's usually in the Xen project, there's no big conference about architecture and long discussions about it, and then the next 3 years that architecture, which is specified in a white paper, gets implemented, only to find out in the end that this looks nice on paper but doesn't work in reality. But it started out as an experiment, and it was incrementally improved and reworked, but there was never a real rewrite. But in the Xen project, we really believe that code can be incrementally implemented and can always be cleaned up and evolve. So another often found misconception is that Xen is about integrating stuff. So codecs and stuff like that are not developed inside the Xen project, but Xen is about integrating other projects like FFmpeg and other sources on SourceForge. You'll find a lot of multimedia projects, and Xen is about integrating that into one tree. That's why it has so many plugins, so you can write some glue code between external projects and the Xen interface and provide it in one consistent way for end users and also for developers to use. Well, it's based on practical experiments. I've talked about that. Write readable code and then take a look at the style guidelines that are outlined in the Xen Hackers Guide if you want to write code. You don't have to, of course. If you can write code any way you like, but if you want to increase the chance that you will actually get integrated in the Xen tree, you should look at those guidelines. And in header file, comments contain interface documents. Communication is also something important. It's done on the Xen DeVal mailing list. It's not done on HashXen, the IRC channel. It's not done in private email. If you want to communicate to the Xen developers, even if you want to have, if you think you have something that I should personally talk about, please post it on the Xen DeVal mailing list. This serves several purposes. Maybe you are wrong. Maybe some other developer has taken over that part of the code. And it also serves as some kind of documentation because those mailing lists are archived somewhere and people can search around there and I don't have to answer the same question over and over again. Okay, that was the present. Now let's have a brief look at the future. What is to come? Something that might interest some of you is OakXen, and purely OSD. OSD is on-screen display-based front-end. So this uses Xen not only to playback media, but uses Xen also for its graphical user interface. And it's meant to be running in full-screen mode all the time. You see a very early screenshot here. Can be used by simply, it can be controlled by only using your infrared remote control. And it has this nice play disk feature, so you just insert a disk in your computer and select play disk, and it will find out whether it's a DVD or video CD or whatever, some data CD containing media files, and play them back. So if you are looking into building some kind of set-top box based on a standard PC hardware, this could be your interface. New plugins are always a good idea. Theora is a very interesting project. Theora comes somehow from the same people that did OgVorbis, which is a really free and hopefully also patent-free audio codec. And Theora is what they do for video. Oh, that's something pretty interesting. And also that media application server, which is actually much more than just an audio daemon. But for Xen, it's all, the most interesting part is using it as an audio output daemon. And hopefully it will at some point replace eSound, which is unfortunately still used in GNOME. And then eSound doesn't have any synchronization features, so you can't really do synced audio and video output using ESD. And so the only function from the Xen perspective ESD has in the GNOME project that it blocks the sound card. And finally, there's Enix, something I'm personally working on. And Enix is actually a separate project, but of course closely related to Xen. And Enix is supposed to become for encoding and video processing what Xen is today for video playback. It's also an integrators type project, but it's the back end, not decoding, but it's encoding and filters. There are some filters that can obviously not be implemented in real time and that you might want to run within Enix. So this is just about collecting all those video encoders and once again put them together in one tree and provide a consistent and easy to use API for them. It will be a shared library, it will have plugins. Just what you heard about Xen is also true for Enix. The API, I mentioned it already. And it will also be written in plain C. Why plain C? Well, it's the only language I at least to some extent know about. I've heard a lot of languages and I've used a lot of them, but C is what I have most experience in. And if you write a library, you can write afterwards very easily wrappers and bindings for other languages. Actually, there's a project that is writing Python bindings for libxene at the moment, and I hope more of those will come up in the future. This is what Anix looks like at the moment. Here's a simple demo front end that could become some non-linear video editor. You can just seek around in a stream here. You can also do re-encoders in Anix. Just use Xen to decode a stream and connect it directly to an encoder. And you have a re-encoder, so if you download a file that has some strange proprietary format that you have only codecs on the x86 architecture for, you can just use Anix to re-encode them into some free format, so you can be sure that in 20 years you can still play back that file, even if the hardware at that time is completely different. You can use it as a video recorder. I'll show an example later. Any kind of video processors can be built up on top of this architecture, and also title generators. And the most important part that you should notice is that Anix uses Xen as the playback engine. So any type of file that Xen can play back can then be edited and processed using Anix. Okay, so how does this work? The Anix architecture is built around an Anix stream T. You might remember Xen stream T, so this is what Anix does. This could be anything. Such a stream T is a very simple structure. I have it on the next slide. It could be a wrapper around Xen engine, it could be a filter, anything. You can stack them together. So you can have the Xen engine at the top and then two effect plugins. And in the end, you put an encoder, just a multiplexer and an audio encoder and a video encoder. And in the end, you have an output plugin which writes the stream you generate to a file or maybe write it to the network. This is what Anix stream looks like, just an example for object-oriented programming in C. You basically have a play function that is also used to seek around. You remember that from Xen now. And you have those two functions here, get next video frame and get next audio frame, so you can access individual frames. That's something new here. That's something that Xen couldn't do until very recently. And now that Xen can do this, you can actually use it to process audio and video. So this is just a little example of what Anix can do today. This is really something that you can find on the Anix website already. You just create an Anix Xen stream, use an AVI file, for example, for input. Those two ones mean I want audio and I want video. You create a scaler, and you connect it to that Xen stream, as you simply use that Xen stream as the input of the scaler. So you scale down the video, and then you create an encoder. This time we just use an Ogg Media Xvid Vorbis encoder. You run open on that encoder. That's just to specify the output file. You call run, and you call close, and you are done. And just to give you one little example of what you can do here, because the Xen engine is integrated here, you can just put Video for Linux up there in that MRL, and you have a video recorder. Okay, I'm done. Thanks for your attention.